Hallelujah. Praise God. How many are set for the word this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is here. And let's be conscious of that as we continue on in the service. Amen. A word of prayer, Father. I just thank you for this time and for your presence in this place, in this room. Thank you, Father, for your power and your presence. Thank you, Father, for your word, which goes forth in power. Thank you, Father, for hearts touched, minds illuminated by your truth, lives changed and transformed, impacted by your word. I give this time to you, Lord. Say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it was a great time of worship as we started this morning and continued on. That was just awesome, you know. And there was a couple of lines that caught my attention there as we worshiped with our hearts to God's word. And I think the line said something like, to the effect of, your grace has found me just as I am. Just empty-handed, but alive in your hands. Now, how many know that when grace found you, when grace impacted your life, how many know that your life did not remain the same? So, before grace found you, you feasibly, possibly, were what? Empty-handed. But when grace found you, intending with you being, becoming alive to God, alive in God, how many know that he loaded you with benefits? So that, guess what? Post the cross, post salvation, for you specifically and particularly, you are no longer empty-handed. You're full. This morning, I just thought that would serve as a great segue and great song. But there's import there for you to realize something happened and your life changed forever. So the Bible is the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Jesus loaded you, God has loaded you as a child of God with immense benefits. Tremendous, beautiful, glorious, stupendous, astonishing, remarkable. Can I go on? Benefits. Guess what, friends? And there's unique characteristics about these benefits, friends. These benefits don't grow stale. These benefits don't expire. These benefits don't get rescinded. These benefits don't get taken away. These benefits are without repentance. I titled the message this morning, His Eternal Benefits. His Eternal Benefits. We were at 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Stupendous, oh sorry, I used that word again. As they are, remarkable as they are, plenteous as they are based on God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. Yes. God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I'll jump in. It says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate. How many know what version I'm reading from at this point? Now I'm reading from the Amplified, the classic. The gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. That's a portion we commonly refer to, you know, not receive the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. As King James or New King James will put it. And friends, something remarkable about this portion of scripture. First off, it's a continuation from verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. To the effect of a popular passage we love to quote and share and pass on ever so frequently, commonly known, refrain. Eye has not what? Seen. Nor ear heard. Nor, or depending on what version, neither or nor, King James or New King James, nor has entered into the heart, minds of men the things what? That God has prepared for those. Oh man, ardent students of God's word in this church, in this place, in this body. That's awesome. Quoting it word for word. I'm honored and proud of you guys. Praise God. Now, well, how many know, friends, over time, believers have seen, approach that scripture and have a perception, a conception, an idea that somehow that portion of scripture evokes or paints the picture or gives off the idea of something yet future. Of something yet what? Futuristic. And so many have been in that passage and looked at it, and the conception, what they receive or what they get, is that, oh, it concerns what? The sweet by and by. Where's Pastor Jim? He just mentioned this morning. Something yet in the future. Something yet elusive, so to speak. Something yet out of reach, out of grasp. It's one great grand picture, and it's yet to come. But as it concerns God's benefit, as it concerns his blessing, as it concerns his blessings, as it relates to godliness, the nature and the new life that you now have on the inside of you, it has effect for the life that now is and that which is to come. That is, it has an effect and benefit for the here and now. First off, Isaiah 64, that's where it's a quotation. Chapter 2, verse 9, that refrain is from Isaiah 64 and verse 4. So it's a prophetic utterance from the Old Testament, which the Apostle Paul is here repeating, referencing, because he's speaking about wisdom from verse 5 or 6 thereabout. He's speaking about the wisdom concerning the hidden mystery, which was hidden, but if we read down and we take a look at it, we're not going to do that today, but this is just a whole part of the message. I can just buzz it for you. The whole essence of what he's saying is that which was hidden, that which was a mystery, the point now is that only God knows what's in his heart. It says, but we have not received the spirit of this world. We have received the spirit of God. That we might know. Someone say no.
No.
The things that have been freely given to us by God. So guess what? That which was hidden was a mystery. It says only the Holy Spirit knows who is himself God. And it said they've been revealed to us. Not only have they been revealed to us, the revelation makes it clear that the blessedness already what? Went forth. The blessing already did what? Went forth.
Yes.
By his Holy Spirit. Look at it again, verse 12. So in your spare time, you can delve into that and just enjoy. Just love the Lord, enjoy that way in the word, in scripture. It says, the spirit we've received is so that we may what? Realize, comprehend, and appreciate. Those are words that come off from the original Greek, and that's the word eido in the Greek, E-I-D-O. Do we realize as believers, as Christians, what we've been birthed into by way of regeneration, by way of rebirth? Do we comprehend the awesome majesty? We were singing songs this morning. In fact, every single song this morning, I was just like, oh wow, praise God forevermore. I could have touched the ceiling there if I could just pop that way. The enormous magnitude of having God, his power and his presence residing on the inside of you. Do we comprehend that? Do we really understand? Do we know? Do we appreciate? The fullness that we have received based on the truth that Christ, that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, lives and dwells in you. These are things sometimes, friends, sometimes we don't pay too much attention to. Sometimes we don't really, another word I can borrow is the word recognize. Do we recognize this in the way, how we live when we walk here in this life, on this plane, on this earth? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you know who you carry within, on the inside? Do you know the benefits that you have? Those benefits don't fluctuate based on players in this world. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about financial institutions or economies or what economics and all of that stuff. His eternal benefits. Those don't fluctuate. Praise God. Another import of that word, know, as I was looking at, is the word experience, which is what I'm getting to this morning. You see, not only has he loaded us with benefits, it's for a reason, it's for cause. Come on. Yes. It's for us to experience in this life, in this lifetime, and richly enjoy. To walk in the fullness of that which he has called us to. Yeah. So that word know also has subsumed or embedded in its meaning, import, experience. That you may know the things that have been freely bestowed on you or given to you, to us by God. Therefore, the knowing, friends, is not just head knowledge. But how that the heart of the Father is to have us experience the reality of these benefits here and now. Let me share how the Passion puts this. It says, "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us." So that we might come to do what? To understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. How do you know? How do you experience? How many know before we can talk about knowing this or experiencing this, how about we start off from the very beginning? How do you come to be a possessor? How do you come to be a recipient? How do you come to be a carrier or someone that has obtained or that owns these benefits? I believe strongly that that's a great starting point in recognizing this and seeing this and appreciating it for what it is. And I'll start off with one very quick response this morning. Acts 4:12. And it is, friends, without question, one answer. It is by what? Salvation. Salvation, a word not new to us, a word not foreign to us, Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. His name, friends, is Jesus. So, let me say it this way. We talked about being a child of God and children of God earlier on this morning as we started out the service. That can only come by one way, by you being what? By you being saved, by you being born from above, by you being born of God. You're not a Christian, you're not a child of God based on natural birth. You see that in John 3. It's not based on, oh, my parents were Christians, so I'm a Christian. It's not based on affiliation with certain church or denomination from youth upwards, or, oh, I grew up, that's all I ever knew, so I'm just a Christian because I aggregated or I congregated with a body of Christians from as far back as I can remember. That's not how you come into the kingdom. That's not how you partake of these benefits fully as it concerns your life. It's about an act of conscious will concerning the gospel, concerning the good news, concerning Jesus, a response in faith to the finished work of the cross, having Jesus as Lord and Savior, having Him as King and Master over your life personally. Not that of the faith of grandfathers and great-grandfathers or parents or uncles or aunts. That has nothing to do with anything as far as we're talking concerning faith here. It's about you particularly, specifically, at some point in time in history. You made what we term or what we call that decision. Jesus, I just surrender. Doesn't matter where you were, whether in front of a pulpit, whether in my case like on the 12th floor of a high-rise building or in a park somewhere in a car, dilapidated, a car that's wrecked already. It doesn't matter where it was, or in the hospital, on a hospital bed, regardless. But you responded in faith to the good news. Yourself.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, friends. We sometimes reduce this to, something. Just let's say a prayer. It's a prayer, a sinner's prayer, or what we termed back in the day. I don't know if that still obtains. You know, I don't, yeah. You know. A sinner's, it's not just about the sinner's prayer. Oh, it's just salvation. No, salvation. It's just salvation. It's just, there's so much embedded in this, friends. It goes beyond just words. Amen. Something happened to you. And you'll say, oh, you're my child. Okay, you're my child. And so that's something happened to you. If you can think about the magnitude of what it took for him to go to that cross and be impaled there. We celebrated communion this morning. If you can think about the magnitude, the love which he had in his heart for you, for me, in undertaking such, I was going to use another word, but my words are getting a little, what it took, it wasn't just for nothing. It was specific. He had you in mind, he had you in heart, particularly. I'm trying to use words here, friends, because he knows you personally. It wasn't for his sins that he hung on that cross. It wasn't for his errors or misdeeds. It was for you. It was for me. And when you said yes to Jesus, something happened to you.
Amen.
We can talk about his eternal benefits all day. I can talk about it all week, all year, and then till continuously. But we're going to look at two passages. I'm just going to touch on a number of those benefits, and then we'll continue on. As you're great students of God's word, we can talk about salvation and, oh, it's a package deal and you receive something. Yes, awesome, that's great and that's true. So, but it's not just about opening up and getting out gifts. It's about, oh, something that you received that is on the inside, which now calls for outworking, which now calls for manifestation, which now calls for giving expression to the nature, the life of God on the inside. The question is, but do we know that we are loaded with benefits? Most times we don't know. Most times we don't think about it. Most times we're not conscious of it. We're not. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Titus 3, 4 through 7. You can note it. Titus in chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. It says, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, it says, hear this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal or rebirth by the Holy Ghost, whom he has shed on us abundantly. Washing of regeneration, renewal by the Holy Ghost, not based on works. That is, in being saved, something happened. A washing took place, all sins forgiven. And we must always understand that these benefits are eternal in nature. By eternal in nature doesn't mean it's just for the future. Eternal in nature, as I explained earlier, has profit for life that now is and that which is to come. There's supposed to be an expression to these things. You've been forgiven. You've been washed. How did Paul put it in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11? After listing 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, after listing a long list of sins and positions and lifestyle of men, it says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, that is made holy, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Something happened in that moment when you got saved. Amen. On the inside of you, so that you became a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which we all know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, not just in becoming new, but you were adjudged what? Not guilty. Made holy, sanctified, justified. I can go on and on. How many know the flip side, the corollary flips out of justification? You were made righteous. You were made righteous. Did you hear me say it? You were. I can continue on and on, friends. I can list things. We're delivered. But this morning, just to have an example of a benefit and to try and express and explain what I'm trying to say here this morning about how it's about the outworking. It's about how we let this manifest so that it's not only frequent in our lives, it's pervasive, if I can say, put it that way. These benefits are for profit now. And what, I don't want to use the word hurts me, but the challenge is, as believers, most times we kind of find it difficult to see this in manifestation in different areas. Area of healing, area of health, area of general well-being, area of prosperity, area of every walk aspect of life. It's kind of a challenge, is how does this play out? And so I want to use an example this morning of something that we don't always necessarily particularly pay attention to as a benefit. It is a benefit. It's an awesome benefit. It's a glorious benefit. But there are just so many other great sounding ones, so to speak. This morning, I want to hinge on the example of the word peace. Peace. As a benefit received of God. How many know that, for example, all the money in the world can't buy you peace? And we have examples, numerous examples. How many know that peace does not speak of absence of a storm? particularly. How many know that? Because sometimes when we think of peace, okay, that means, oh, it's just peaceful. Everything is just perfect. Everything is just going swimmingly great, good. So that is peace. Nice. Great. Awesome. Yeah, I take that any day of the week. But it doesn't mean absence of a storm. Am I preaching my own teaching here or my own doctrine here? All right. Can we hear Jesus? Let's hear Jesus. Praise God. John in chapter 14. Peace does not mean there are no issues, situations, or trying circumstances, and everything is just great. Jesus speaking, John in chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So that means that the world gives peace. You didn't see that. You didn't see that, right? All right, I'll explain. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Because guess what, friends, in case you didn't know it, the world gives peace. And I'll explain. How does this come to be? When sometimes, there are different facets of it. When, for example, if I choose not to stand for truth, for justice, or I try to blend in, or I try to, what's that word? So that they won't speak ill of me, so that they won't say, oh, this guy's just, every time I see this guy, he's always talking the gospel. Every time I see this guy, he's always speaking the word. He's always wanting to pray. Must you pray? Yes. And so there can be peace of, oh, not lack of opposition because I'm swimming in the direction the world is swimming. So there's peace. That's the word, compromise. So there can be peace there. And Jesus referenced that. You can read the whole passage. On the one hand. On the other hand, peace, because the world gives peace. The peace that the world gives that is predicated on the fix-it syndrome. What do I mean? There's a remedy. All you have to do is what? Go get it. Go grab it. So fix it. So I can what? Fix it. So I'm going to go whatever it takes to remedy the situation so I put my hands on them in there so that I can fix it and do it right. Oh, it was a challenge I faced, but I'll just do it my way. So there can be some peace. It might be with getting something that provides, takes care of a need. It might be whatever way. Well, there are ways where, oh, okay, can be okay. Well, Jesus is making a distinction here, friends. I want us to pay attention. It says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. The world's ideas and concepts and all these things at best can be just a panacea of sorts or temporary remedies, but they do not serve to diminish or extinguish pains, hurts, traumas, injuries, abuse of sorts, and things that have inflicted us for a long time, on the one hand. But the remedy, friends, as always, is in Christ Jesus. Is in no one else. Is in no other name. Jesus himself is peace. And based on what Jesus did, we have what? Peace with God. Romans 5:1 puts it this way. It says, Romans in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. So we have peace. Why? Because there's been That reconciliation, there's been that oneness now based on salvation, as mentioned earlier. But let's look at John 16, 33. John in chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus on peace still. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Because sometimes you look at it and say, oh, I have overcome the world. So what does that mean in relation to me? Jesus is saying, I have overcome the world. What does that mean in relation to me? I'm here in this plane. I'm here on this earth. I'm here with these struggles. How does that relate to me? Understanding, recognizing, realizing, first and foremost, that the victory he purchased is the same victory for you. Yes. Overcame the world. Deprived it of power to harm you and conquered it for you. So guess what that makes you now? A victor, overcomers. More than a conqueror, as part of your benefits. You know, sometimes we walk through this life, through this plane, as if we're alone. Yeah. Not realizing who's traveling with us, one, and who's traveling in us. Because sometimes we see that as external. We see these blessings or these benefits as external to us. And that, friends, is part of the disconnect that makes it difficult for us to see the reality of the fulfilled in our lives. Amen. Because guess what? If you can think, if the enemy can get you to think that, oh, this is external to me, or this is yet future, then all the while you're struggling to try and do what? You're trying to get what he already gave. That forms a good reason for the disconnect. Because guess what? You'll be chasing after instead of trying to what? Work out. Work out. Work out. Because guess what? Guess who's working in you? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All the while, God. It didn't say work for your salvation, that passage. It's work out. So you're saved. So, but there's a working out to it. There's a given expression to the life and the nature of God. And the fear there is not fear and shake. No, it's reverence for God. Yes. So at best, it's reverential fear. Praise God. His eternal benefits. So you have peace and you're in Christ Jesus. But it's not just okay to have peace. It's not just okay to know you have peace. Let me take another step. It's not okay to just to have peace or to just know you have peace. There's something about peace. Can we see it? Can we take a look at it? Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15. I want to refrain from quoting that. I want to refrain from saying that. I want us to take a look at it. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15. As it concerns peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Hallelujah. And be thankful. Having a grateful and thankful heart, friends, is a pathway, is a gateway to experiencing God's peace in the midst of a storm. Being thankful. Are you thankful in disposition? Are you grateful in your heart to Godward? Because guess what, friends? Sometimes the world comes heavy on us in different areas and different aspects. Job situation. Financial issue. Trying to get a job. Trying to get someone to marry. Trying to
raise kids.
Trying to raise kids. Transportation and medical and different aspect facets of life. Yeah. Do you know that in the midst of that, you can have peace?
Yes.
On the expression level, that is in expression. Because as I said, you have peace within you. The word declares that. You have the peace of God. But in expression, in your living, you can have, maintain, enjoy peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Can you be thankful? Can you be grateful? Can you give God praise? Can you let His peace rule in your heart? Something I'm going to say about that passage in Colossians 3:15, and I'm just going to share a testimony here in this regard. It says, and let. Gives me the idea, the twin ideas of choice and permission. Twin ideas of choice and permission. It says, let the peace of God rule, reign in your heart. You have to do that. And how? It's all the things I've just talked about this morning. Realizing, recognizing, appreciating what you have, who you have, and what you have on the inside. Knowing that it's eternal, it's and they are all eternal in nature, having benefit for this life, and that it's yours to manifest, it's yours to enjoy, it's yours to express in this lifetime as you walk here. Testimony. I think in 2018, we got to a situation, got to a place where we had to, we had lived in a two-bedroom house, kind of in a condominium, and had three kids, and with the kids growing and all, basically this, the pad became a little tight, if you know what I mean. In a manner of speaking. All right, so, heard the Lord, it's okay, it's time. You know, it's been coming up through the years, but then eventually 2018, so okay, it's time. So started to look around and search and do all of that stuff. Went to see a few places, and so one day, just to keep this nice and short, one day I saw something online, and the moment I saw it, I just knew that my spirit, that's it. This is the one. I hadn't even looked at anything. I just saw it before even looking in details. I said, that's the one. My wife was sitting next to me on the couch. I said, honey, this is, she said, yeah, we've been through. I said, oh, this is it. Went through. So, oh, okay, looked at it. Okay, great. Awesome. We'll check it out on Saturday. Saturday, awesome. Praise God. Give God thanks, glory. Came to men's meeting in the gallery right there. And Pastor Mike, in his characteristic manner, just round table. Just, okay, you know what? Who's got needs here? Let's just pray. Praise God. And then they started, went around. And then I was the last one on the line. I said, Sean? Need any prayer? Anything? Any needs? I was like, I said, you have any needs? I said, well, okay, yeah, let's pray. A house. He said, what? I said, a house. He said, what? I said, a house. I'm like, am I saying it wrong? Was it too big or was it coming out right from my mouth? I'm like, a house. Oh, a house, a new house. Oh, yeah, okay, praise God. And then we prayed, and then after the prayer, I remember the man of God, that's why I looked at me, and in that characteristic, if you know what I'm talking about once I'm done, just let me know by lifting your right hand. In that characteristic way, he just pointed and said, you've got the house. He says, you have a new house. I said, praise God, hallelujah. hugged them tight, and then dashed off. Usually I stay by him for fellowship and what my men's meeting. I had a viewing just after the meeting, and I dashed there praying in tongues and just giving God praise and glory and hallelujah. And got there and, oh, okay. Driving through a nice neighborhood. Oh, okay. Door open, step right foot in there. As soon as I step in there, I said, praise God, this is it. I hadn't been in, I didn't look at, I was in, just walked in there. Walked through, I saw other people, bids and whatnot. And miraculously, great deals over the way, things, concessions, all of that stuff. Awesome. Closed on December 27th. By the 29th, we moved in. Awesome. And now, the way the Lord had this is, as we did this, we were led not to have, it wasn't a, what's the word now? Basically, it wasn't contingent on us selling, the old place, at least not simultaneously, anything like that. So we got the new place, moved in, praise God. Lovely pad, not too far away, awesome. Praise God, awesome. All right, prepped the old place, put it on the market. Month one, no sale. Month two, no sale, hallelujah. Paying on the old pad, bills and all of that stuff, the mortgage, everything on the old pad and on the new pad. Talk about being stretched. Yeah. So, ooh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord. Month three, nothing. Praise God. Now, mind you, people are going through, but not, nothing's coming forth and all of that stuff. Now, what does it say about those who keep their heart and their mind stayed on the Lord? It talks about perfect peace, right? It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because what he trusts in you, Isaiah 26 verse 3. And I remember vividly involving, we involved our kids in the prayers and they were getting all worried and all of that stuff. But in all of this, friends, it's about what? Your disposition. In all of this, friends, it's about your heart. Are you being perturbed? Are you being swayed? Does everything just go down the drain or down the gutter as concerns your faith, as concerns your trust, as concerns he that you have come to know Jesus on a personal note, on a personal level, as it concerns that relationship that you have with him? I had to share with my little ones Philippians 4 through 6. Don't be anxious for anything. It says, but by what? Prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. And I've shared with you in this house how that when I pray, friends, I just give thanks. When I pray, even if I'm asking, if it's a thing of asking, it's thanksgiving. Father, I thank you for that new house. Father, I thank you because this house is sold. Because that's the way I see it. That's the way I relate with him is thanksgiving. And I've shared that with my kids. And that's how they pray. That's how the little man, 3-year-old, that's how he prays. Thank you. It's about thanksgiving. It says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. It says, the peace, someone say peace. The peace of God which transcends, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and keep your mind. Where? In Christ. Because he's your confidence, because he's my confidence. And so in that way, we're going to be in nothing moved, not perturbed. Jesus is the answer. When that thing came by, boom. It felt like from nowhere, but praise God, we know where that was from. Right. So, no need for money, whatever. Okay, cash deal, let's get it done. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, and then you're looking at it, you're like, oh, wow. That's how it rolled, that's how it went. It's just like, yeah, thank you, Lord, praise God. It's not about, listen, friends, it's not about how much you agonize over that. It's not about how much you try and make it show that, oh, I'm going through something in complaining or whatnot. What's your disposition? Who do you trust? Who are you dependent on? Do you know who you have on the inside? Who's your confidence? And so here's my encouragement this morning, friends. I was about to say, it doesn't matter what that situation is, but that's not the phrase, so that you don't get the wrong idea. Verily, you may be here this morning facing something, a storm of sorts. And wow, thank you, Lord. You know how we sing, this is how I fight my battles. And we can do that in congregation. And that's great and that's awesome. But I have my question for you. How do you fight your battle? You, when you are alone, when you are in that thing, that storm, that ship, that boat, alone, how do you fight your battle? Let's look at Psalm 119. Verse 165. I'm going to take it from a couple of versions. New Living Translation says, this is how we make the peace become prevalent in our lives, not dormant or not infrequent, constant. It says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Psalm 119, verse 165. And Passion puts it this way, there is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they will never be offended. Lovers of God's word. The word offended there is the word defeated. You will never be defeated. You will never be defeated. The expanded version puts it this way, it says, and nothing will defeat them. Nothing will defeat you. When the word of God becomes to you sweeter than honey. When the word of God becomes to you more necessary than your daily food. God's word. Not because I want to cram things put in my head, but because I want to know him more closely, more intimately, and to get a closer walk with him. Oh yeah, Lord, I have this. Yeah, show me, how do I let this play out? How do I let this play out? How do I let this show up in this situation, circumstance? You're led of the Spirit, and he just gives you a word. Okay, do this. Okay, go there. It's so almost literal, friends. But you are in, oh, I was going to use the word propinquity, but that's the word nearness and relationship. You're in nearness, you're in relationship so close with the Father of Spirits. You're in relationship so close with Jesus that you get instruction, and it's so clear, and there's peace in your heart to go with it. Prayer team member, would you come? Yes. Members, prayer team members. Hallelujah. When you value and treasure God's word, and so I wrap up this way this morning, friends. Jesus himself is your eternal benefit. Jesus Christ himself, in essence, is your eternal benefit. And with him comes everything else. For in him all things consist. In him all things consist. All things hold together. All things make sense. All things crystallize perfectly. Comes up, shows up in our lives. Jesus, alive on the inside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're here and you don't know Jesus. All eyes closed at this time. You're here, you don't know Jesus. You've not accepted him as Lord and personal Savior. You've not made that decision. Today is your day. Today is acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. For you do not know true peace until you know Jesus, until you have Jesus. Eternal benefits, all about having Jesus, really. I'd love for you to just boldly, without shame, if you're here and you don't know him in this way, I'd love for you to just make your way forward. Join up with one of these prayer team members and they'll just minister grace and truth to your heart in this regard. You're here and you have a health concern. Particularly, specifically, you have a health concern, issue. Don't leave this place without speaking with one of these team members. You've got bounty today. You've got bounty today. You've got bounty today as it concerns your health. You're here and you don't know peace. You struggle with this. You struggle in so many ways, in different aspects. Join up with one of these prayer team members as well as they agree with you in faith and just give love, show light, as by the Spirit of the living God. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for your word, which went forth in power. Thank you, Father, for hearts touched, lives impacted by your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the victory to which you've called us. Thank you, Father, because we go forth giving praise to your majesty, knowing that we are overcomers, knowing that we have the victory, more than conquerors you caused us to be, because we are in you and you in us. And we love you so much, Father. We say thank you for making great provision and loading us with benefits too numerous to count. Give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your time. Go forth in power. Have a glorious week. Keep enjoying the Lord.